Let's put a smile on that face.
Okay, all right, guys. Welcome to a new episode of Extremely Geeked Out. And as I told you last week, it was going to be a pretty fun one and an interesting one. Today I have here is Bernie.
Yes. I know you don't want to tackle the last name, huh?
No. I was like, oh, should I go for it?
it actually sounds like looks the way it sounds. So, or the other way around, the way it sounds is the way it looks. Yeah. So it's Manji Boyett.
I got you.
And that's where we get the nickname B-Man.
B-Man.
You know, a lot of people go, hey, it's B-Man or G-Man. They put man in there. But my actual last name is Man, so it's B-Man.
All right. B-Man. he is also the owner of Dragon's Lair comic book shop. My local comic book shop here in Fayetteville, North Carolina. Been coming up here about... I would say about a year and a half, 2 years.
Yeah, like a couple of years now.
Yeah.
A couple of years now.
Yeah.
Remember you coming in and I said, rooms to go, you know. I wanted to go talk, so I look at stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Serve people.
Because it was, when I first moved up here, I was trying to figure out everything, trying to make sure, okay, I still read a lot of comic books. The comic book shop I had back in Georgia was like 45 minutes from my house.
Ooh.
Yeah, yeah. So it was like pick and choose. I want to go all the way out of my way to get this or not. But then moved up here. I was like, can I find a comic book shop? I don't think, because my first time up here, I didn't see one or didn't know of anyone up here. And we finally moved in our house. And let's see if I can go on the website, see if I can find a local comic book shop. And there was one that's saying about 2.5 miles from the house. I'm like, yes!
Right down the street.
Right down the street. So I wanted to talk about just the history of the Dragon's Lair. How did you come to
It's very unique because where the Dragon's Lair is now is basically where it started out, but it started off in a flea market. I used to come up here when I was in about 7th grade, ride my bike up here every week with my friend. And, you know, we just come to the comp. We discovered it in the flea market, so we started coming. And then they actually opened a store down the road later on. And I went there a couple times, but by that time, you hit at that point in time, because I'm older than I look. So I grew up in the 80s. So, you hit that time in high school, or, you know, middle school, or at the time, junior high to high school, where it's not cool. Back then, it's not cool to read comics.
Right.
It really wasn't.
Right.
So I fell out of the comic scene, got into music because I was too small to play basketball or play football. I'm 5'5 now, so just imagine back then. And so it was like, let's play music, you know. How else do you get girls? I mean, hey, rock bands, you know. You looked back in the 80s. So I did that. And then around after I graduated, which I graduated in 88, I was driving by down the road, and it's about beginning of 1989, and I saw the Dragon's Lair had moved back into this location where the flea market used to be. So I walked in that day, and it was like I never missed a beat. It's like, wow. I guess the biggest part that I missed was that comics had become more adult.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like stuff like, you know, the Death in the Family was coming out.
Mm-hmm.
The Watchmen had came out. The Dark Knight Returns had came out. So I was catching up. And, man, I was like, I was in here almost like every other hour. It's funny because I actually, my dream was still to be a rock star. I was going to go to California. I was going to, you know, be the next Motley Crue, Poison, and just go there and do that. And I actually, grunge hit, and that pretty much killed my rock star dreams. And, I was actually going to do nails. My mom owned a nail salon. And so I got nails because I was going to go to California. I didn't want to starve. So I was going to do nails during the day, do rock star at night, and make it big. But I walked in the comic store, and it kind of changed my life. Started coming out almost every other day, almost every hour when I wasn't working. And then one day, the guy says, hey, he says, you got anything to do today? You want to help us pull for club members? Sure.
Why not?
So it was almost like, you know, when you start a job at McDonald's, you start off on the fries, you start. And that's how it kind of moved up. So then that happened. Desert Storm came, and it was weird because we were selling so many books at the time, because in the early 90s, we were selling like 200 copies of Uncanny X-Men. 200 copies. We were selling more, from what I heard, than Heroes Are Hard to Find, and he had 3 or 4 stores because the military was just booming. Well, then Desert Storm hit. And you could walk across Yadkin Road, which Yadkin Road was the main road that left the base at the time.
Yeah, we're actually, I'm looking right in front of it right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, and so you see how busy it is. So when Desert Storm happened, they deployed everybody.
Wow.
So you could run across Yadkin Road, which we call the Yadkin 500. You could run across it 10 times, back and forth. No cars. That's how dead it was here.
It's hard to believe to see that now, because coming here to get my books, it's just endless line. I'm sitting in out there right now, just waiting for my, my time to get on the road, and that's hard to believe to see that Yadkin Road, Yadkin 500, dead.
So with that going on, there was of course. So we went from selling 200 copies of Uncanny X-Men to like 100. So we're stocking 100-ish. And the guy who owned the store was a guy named John Hancock, and I've known him since I was a kid. Like I said, I used to come here when I was reading comics as a kid, and he just, you know, he kind of wanted to sell. He wanted to kind of get out of business because he had started with another gentleman, and they started in the flea market, but John was never into comic books. His love was like Civil War guns and stuff like that. The other guy was in comics. Well, the guy kind of left the bag with him, and he's like,
what am I going
to
do with
this? Yeah, but he just rolled it because it was a business to help to make money. And we had managers here and older guys, and they liked what they liked. But, of course, you got to go with what's trending. So what ended up happening was, trying to make this long story into short, 5 minutes. So what ended up happening was I got the word John wanted to sell the store. So the manager at the time wanted to go ahead and, hey, I want to do this, and he couldn't get the money. Another guy who worked here attempted, couldn't get the money, and it grew up. It hurt. I was like, oh, he wants to sell the store. So one day I go, John, hey, I heard you want to sell the store. He looks at me and goes, why? Are you interested? I said, well, kind of. And as I said, my mom and my dad have always kind of owned business in Fayetteville. My dad's retired military, and he did photography. He was a comic photographer, and he opened up a photography studio, did that for a while, and then my mom got into nails. She was one of the first ladies to actually do sculpture nails in town.
How about that?
So basically, I told my mom and my dad, and my mom went and talked to John, and they worked out some kind of deal. I don't know what the deal was. It's kind of like a mutual deal, and the deal was that I would become the manager, run it for a while, and then eventually we would buy it.
Yeah.
So what ended up happening was, I came to manage the place, started turning the place around, because the old manager loved him to death, but he wanted to sell what he liked, not what was trending. At the time, Marvel and the New Mutants with Rob Liefeld, X-Men, all that kind of stuff was trending. It was big. It was getting hot. And he still was on the Batman kick in DC. And at that point in time, after DC ran its course with the Batman for the first Batman movie, it just started going down. So he was still ordering 100 copies of Batman, but we were selling like 40. So I had to make changes. So me and a couple guys, Nick and another guy I had for a long time named Ansel, we would have like the brain trust of friends, and we would figure out the order. And back then you had to order two months in advance. It couldn't change. So we were like really cutting titles. So, we did that. After a while, I purchased the place, and I was making payments to John for a couple years. And it's funny, he came in here like 6 months later, and he looked in the wall, looked everywhere, and he came to me, put my arm around me. He says, Bernie, I knew you could do this. So that's pretty much how I took over the business. And it's been, like I said, it's funny because this year, since 2019, I walked this building approximately 30 years ago.
Wow.
And it was kind of funny because I was thinking about it. And now with this same time, we expanded the store into, to 2 spaces, which is it's kind of remarkable because people are like, man, they look at the new building and they're like, it looks great. And then I said, well, what do you think? I said, well, I'll be honest, I'm looking around, I'm going, and I think, how did I fit all this stuff in one space for basically 30 years. So that's pretty much how we took over the store. And I've been fortunate because I've had a lot of people help me out, work for me. I got great friends, good manager Nick, my daughter-in-law B. She's done a great job learning the business. And that's what this is for. It's down to leave. I can't be. I figured that out a few years ago. I'm not immortal. Even though some people say I look like it.
Yeah.
But I'm not immortal, and I want it to be passed down from a legacy. I want it to keep going. Even if something happens to me or retire, I want it to keep going. Mm-hmm. That's what it's here for.
Right. So. Yeah. That's an awesome story. I was always kind of curious about that. How'd you actually come to bringing up Dragon Slayer, knowing that it's always been here, and then you just
like I said, I fell into it. You know, God had a path for me, and he ran with it.
How about that? Yeah, that's awesome, man.
He didn't want me starving in L.A. Grunge hit. It was it. I was like, oh no, I'm not doing grunge.
none of that. No, plaid and all that. It wasn't.
No.
And you talked about when I came in first time. It wasn't as big as it is now. You done some renovation, which
looks
great, by the way.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
Because it was a, here was a, was it a nail salon?
It was a nail salon. Yeah. And at one time it was a computer place. I mean, it's been all these different things, you know. It went from like some computer place to the, actually it was like an insurance place, if I remember right. And then later it became a computer place.
Mm-hmm.
And then... Is it some kind of salon?
Nail salon.
Well, kind of worked out. I could have just kept on doing nails.
Get your comments and get your nails done all the same.
Nails,
time.
Pedicure, you know?
Ladies, come on now.
Maybe I just kicked my mom and put her to work in here.
But she's a nice lady.
Thank you.
Yes, sweet lady. Also, we are also here for comic books, coffee, and donuts.
Correct.
Which is a, is it a bi-monthly? Is this
we try to do it every 6 weeks every if possible. Six weeks, so that's a bi-monthly.
Yeah.
It's something that one of our, again, friends came up with. He ran off over there, Adam.
He's a little mic shy. That's
Adam is far from mic shy. Adam, the thing what we have is if he talks, he keeps talking.
Keep going. That's the beauty of our podcast. So, he talks. It's all good.
So basically, we were sitting around one day, and you know, what I've loved about having some of these guys come in that have become not just customers, but become friends. And I think that's great. After a while, he was talking about retiring, and he's retiring here, so it's like, oh, well, I'm snagging you for your extra time, and he loves it. But when he was still in the military, he came up with this idea. He said, we should do this idea called Comics, Coffee, and Donuts. And I was like, and he explained it. I said, man, that's a great idea. And it's kind of funny because I'd never thought about it, but a lot of places do it. I know Heroes Are Hard to Find. They do it like it's a big swap meet is what they do. And I said, you know, that's actually an awesome idea because, you know, as you said, you go to some comic stores and they're just that. They're just stores. I'm here. You want that item. It's $3.99 plus tax, blah, 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 $4.27. See you next week. And, you know, I want more than that because you probably noticed the first time.
Yeah, you connected.
Rumors to go, but it's just natural to me. My wife says I talk too much, but it's because it's part of my job. It's really part of what it is.
That's awesome customer service.
I guess, and that's what I've always based on is customer service. But going back to that, with like Adam, these ideas come out, and we've got so many ideas we want to do. And he talked about this. I said, man, that's a great idea because we get the community coming in, and we talk, and they talk about comics. And man, if you get people in here just talking, that's just great in itself because it's not just a money cash grab.
Right.
It's a community of
a bit of a fellowship.
Yes, exactly. And you know, it's funny because most of the time, me and some other guys talk about this, most of the time the bad guys aren't comic book readers because, man, they read it and there's morals. I mean, he's a superhero. Mm-hmm. He's a morals. And as I can say, most of them, except for the people who embezzle money, but I'm not going to say any names. But little jab, you know. But you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
So, but most of them are good people.
Mm-hmm.
And my experience of meeting people, man, I've had nothing but really good people that I've met in here. And ideas like that fly. I mean, we talked about maybe doing like a Marvel movie night. You know, that'd be kind of cool. Or DC. you know, we're not supposed to DC streaming, but if we all come in here, hang out, and watch DC movies or shows, you know, something like that. Yeah. But ideas like that. So what we do is like it's Comics Coffee Donuts. We set up early 10 o'clock in the morning. People come in, they bring their item that they want to sell or trade with other collectors, and basically, so you know, we don't ask for any money in return. We do have a donation jar. If you would like to donate, if you sell something, go ahead and donate to the Karen Challenge Trust or the charity at that time. Today it's Karen Challenge Trust, which is a local organization here in Fayetteville where they help cancer patients. They pay for their bills, not like their medical bills, but like the car payment or their house payment or power or stuff like that.
Okay.
So today that's what we're doing. So we got some coffee, we got some donuts, but then most importantly we have comics. So
that's awesome. And to talk about things that you do around here, also the private screenings.
Oh, yes.
You also do that. Yeah. That's, I think, one of my favorite things you do.
We tried that. You know, I've always wanted to do that for over the years. And last year, we were like, let's do this. My daughter-in-law said, let's do this. Let's do it. And so we talked. I know the guys from the theaters. I've known them a long time. One of the guys up here at AMC 14, great guy. And we've talked about doing something. He said, okay, we'll get set up. And we do a lot of cool things. And it's kind of cool to see. I mean, you know, when you go see a movie with some friends, it's cool.
Yeah.
But when you go with a bunch of people who have the same interest.
Yes.
And you get people laughing and yelling and, you know, just from the get-go. Yeah, just from the get-go, you see people making comments. And then you hear the famous taco laugh, which gets everybody laughing. So, you know, it's a fun thing. And we're doing Avengers Endgame here in the next few weeks, April 25th. And but what's cool about it is, so that money that we get from the tickets, also a portion of that goes to the charity, which this charity is the Caring Challenge Trust. So a portion of that $10 that you pay for a ticket goes to that. So I think that's a great thing.
And that's going with today's event too as well, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Was Avengers Infinity War, was that the first one you done
first
ever?
One we did. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which that was, of course, my first time going to that, which was so fun. Because, like you were saying, how you're getting everybody like-minded together and just watching something that everybody's passionate about.
Yes, exactly.
And it was so fun. And
we had a great time. We really did. And you know, really we gave out some stuff from the store. People had donated. And that's always a cool thing when you go to something. Not only did you pay, and part of that goes to a charity, but you have the chance of getting something for free.
Yeah,
it's fun.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
Well, to go furthermore into about some of the other events, you also do the Dine and...
Dine and Design. Yes.
Dine and Design.
The Dine and Design. Dine and Design. I could probably use some help if we're talking about Dine and Design, but they're all, the artists are there. So basically what started with Nick was Nick and Adam and all these guys came up with this idea called Dine and Design, where they go to, at the time they go to a restaurant, and basically they just go hang out. Artists like to draw, so get artists together and let them be creative, and it gives them something to do. And we get a lot of artists who come in here and they want to do stuff, but they don't know how. They don't know how to start. So we got a couple of local artists here who did the same thing. They started off, and then all of a sudden we hold this event, and we've been doing it lately. We used to do it at one of the restaurants. I think we've been doing it now at Beans and Things here on Yakker Road. Hey, Taco! Hey, Mr. Taco, I got a question for you because you can answer this. So, as I said, it's Dine and Design. We hold the Dine and Design. Dine and Design, we do it at where, Beans and Things now?
Beans and Things.
They're on Yakin Road, right?
Yes. Yeah, Yakin Road next to the Papa John's across from Gypsy Parlor.
Okay.
Just a tattoo shop my friend owns.
Okay, cool.
So, what we try to do here, especially me owning a business for 30 years or 27 years and working 30 years. I always like to promote local businesses because that's the key to any city, you know, any town is. I mean, it's cool to have. We're gonna go things, you know, like to Walmart and Food Lion and all the big things because you need those things.
Mm-hmm.
Starbucks is great, I guess, you know, for the big cities.
Right.
But if you're here in town, man, support something local because I've been doing it for a long time. So Beans and Things, they opened up about a year ago or so, and
give or take,
and so. we talked to him and we're like, hey, let's go help, you know, let's go do something with them. You know, trying to keep everything local. So that's a big thing for us, is trying to help the local.
Yeah, because you want to lift them up and encourage them to do, you know, to be a big thing around the neighborhood.
And help the local economy. Right. You know?
Yeah, yeah, because if you look at Starbucks, Walmart, Dunkin' Donut, whatever, they all start small too. Yeah. So
that basically they get there, artists get together, and sometimes we'll do stuff. They'll draw stuff that we can use for the raffles on the big days, the big events, and then, you know, help raise money. So it's pretty cool. They're in their own way, not donating money, but donating time and their talent to help, you know, help the cause in the end. So.
Which definitely, folks, you should definitely check them out. Southpaw.
Yeah, Southpaw.
Rob, who they are both, their art team are amazing.
Southpaw and Crystal Thomas.
Yeah, definitely follow them on Instagram. Check their stuff out because they're very talented people. So, yeah. Today is Hellboy Day.
Yes, Hellboy Day. 25 years of that big red dude.
25 years.
It's kind of incredible. Huh?
Yeah. Thought out.
Especially indie characters. I mean, indie characters.
For something that's staying that long and strong, and now is getting a reboot.
Yep, a reboot with the new actor. But it looks great. The first one's great. I dug the first one.
Yeah, I love Rob Perlman.
Ron Perlman, he did a great job.
Yes.
I mean, it was funny because at the time when Part 2 came out, I remember there was like, I think Batman, The Dark Knight came out that year, Iron Man came out, and I was so burnt on just comic movies by that time because we weren't used to it. And I'm gonna help. I'm gonna wait till later. It took me a couple years to watch it, and when I watched, I was blown away. Part 2 was, I think, better than the first one.
First one.
I liked it.
I mean, I did. I like both of them. Yeah. I'm torn between the two. I'm not sure which one was better than the other, but they were both really good.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the new one. The new one looks pretty good.
Yeah.
So,
mm-hmm.
So definitely, Hellboy Day, 25 years. I believe his first appearance was at San Diego Comic Con in one of their little booklets or something like that. So it's actually pretty cool. I've met Mike Mignola a few times. The last time I met him, my daughter went up there and asked for a sketch, and he doesn't really sketch anymore because I know he's handicapped, can't see or something like that as well. And he usually does sketches, but you know, you got a cute little daughter, you know, she goes up there and sure, he drew a little Hellboy. So she's got a Mike Mignola in her sketchbook.
How about that? But my first time knowing about Hellboy was the movies.
Yes.
And then later on finding out they're
a comic book.
I was like, what?
Yeah. And they're very deep. They're good books.
Mm-hmm.
We just try to carry the trades, but as far as stuff, he's one of the independent characters that's lasted that long. So it's actually a big thing. 25 years of Hellboy really is a big thing. Mm-hmm. I know it's not like an everybody's list, but it's Dark Horse's big character that they can claim, hey, we got Hellboy, because they've got everything else taken away from them. You know? But they got Hellboy, and it still goes strong. We still sell a few copies of that in here, so, you know.
Yeah. So, guys, because when does the new Hellboy?
I believe it's
April?
April.
Is it coming out the same as Shazam?
I think it's a week later, maybe?
I know it's in April, but I
looked
can't
it up, and I'm thinking it was like 12th, maybe? 12th is a Friday, so I'm thinking it's April 12th, because I remember looking it up, because I was wondering about it too, because I was wondering how close they are. I think they're everybody trying to get their superhero movies before the big one.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Before they get all drowned out.
Yep, exactly. By that one movie coming out. Yep, April 12th.
April 12th?
Yep.
Okay. All right. I know it's been a couple of weeks, and I already did the review of Captain Marvel on last week's episode, but I'd like to know what you thought of Captain Marvel.
Tacos over there, right? So, for a person who grew up
mm-hmm.
on Batman 66,
mm-hmm.
and then some of those bad, at the time, the Hulk TV show,
right,
and the Spider-Man TV show, and the god-awful Captain America on the motorcycle with the glass-looking, the plastic shield. Man,
the motorcycle.
Any movie is definitely better than those, but as far as the Marvel Cinematic Universe, they've set a standard. And I've got to say, to me it was good. It wasn't great. It wasn't knocked me out.
It
was right in the middle. Mm-hmm. And I had fun watching.
I did too.
I mean, are there other MCU movies better? Yes. Are there other MCU movies that I consider worse? Yes. But they've all been good to me. Some have been great. Some have been good. Some have been, you know, better than the other. I thought it was a good movie, a solid. I don't mind the changes. I think with all the controversy that surrounding the background of it, with Brie Larson and her talking and stuff like that, I think sometimes when you try to be too politically correct, that you do more harm than good. And, you know, give or take, you can believe or not what's been said and what's been not, but let's just talk about the movie. The movie was a good movie.
I
was happy with it. I will say the only thing I was not happy with, was there wasn't enough Agent Coulson.
Yes, I kind of want to see more.
See more of that. If you ever see that little thing on the I think it was the Thor DVD. It says, on the way to Thor's hammer with Agent Coulson going in and when the store's being robbed. Oh, man, that was so great. And he's such a great character. By the time Avengers, the first Avengers movie, you loved him.
He was great. Yes.
And then when you died, it was like,
he freaking died.
And the only reason why I watched S.H.I.E.L.D. for the first few seasons was because I wanted to watch Agent Coulson. And then when I was like, oh, everybody's Agent Coulson. And you got like maybe three scenes. I'm like, oh. So that was my disappointment about it. I did love the Nick Fury stuff. I love the references of the old movies. I think there's glitches when you start to say trying to put retcon stuff in the thing.
Yeah.
How does it fit? But you know what? It is what it is. We see it with the Star Wars franchise.
Of course.
When you go back and do the first three episodes, you try to compare the Empire, you're like, what means she was the only, and I'll go back to the example. You know, when Luke goes to the Cloud City.
Yeah.
And then Ben looks there and says, oh, well, there goes our only hope. And then Yoda goes, no, there's another one.
There's another.
It's like, dude, you were there when she was born. There were two. You were there. You were there. And then to say that the droids were not yours, you'd never seen this droid in your life or whatever. Come on, man.
Come on.
R2 saved you like through three movies. You might have any recognition. Well, he does kind of look like the droid that Anakin was taking everywhere that saved our butt when we left the planet for the first time. You remember he was one of the R2s that went and pulled the hyperdrive? You've seen this droid. Come on, dude.
You know him. Like, come on.
You could go, at least, well, he kind of looks familiar. So I
think R2 was really like, don't play this game. You know me.
Exactly.
Like,
I'm sorry.
Like, you know me.
So it's the Star Wars. So when you start retconning stuff, you get what you get, but you just got to look through it and just roll with it and just watch it, enjoy it, you know?
I liked about Captain Marvel is that they did something different with her origin story.
Yeah.
Versus to the usual formula
they have
done with the previous movies. It was, like I said, a different take, and I thought that was pretty interesting.
Yeah, I did too. And you know, a lot of people thought that a lot of feminism was going to be shoved in. And I don't think it was. It was a time in the 90s, and that's how it was. It wasn't like, oh, well, no.
Yes.
Well, it didn't shove in. And that's what I thought a lot of people thought was going to be, and it wasn't. Mm-mm. And you know, It wasn't force-feeding anything like that.
I think people don't realize is that Captain Marvel, Carol Danvers' Captain Marvel's back history isn't the greatest.
Yeah, exactly.
And it needed that change of pace, that new shine of light on for it to be, for other young viewers, go, oh, wow, I like Captain Marvel.
Yeah, you know, exactly. And, you know,
it needed to make her actually be a favorable character, mm-hmm. like Iron Man, Captain America, Spider-Man, and stuff like that. That it needed that type of... that kind of story.
Yes, definitely. You know, and that's why I said I enjoyed it. I think some people these days they take the movies too literal. It's too serious. It's got to be just like
it.
And there's never. It's not going to. Mm-mm. It's never going to.
Because you really think of it, there's like a lot of. What's the word I'm thinking of? Outlandish.
Yes.
Sometimes, mm-hmm. and you can't really put that into like an actual live action movie.
Exactly. Yeah.
Because it just don't really.
Well, it's already screwed up because, you know, they don't have the X-Men universe at that point in time. So,
right. What are you going to do?
You got to make some changes and you just got to roll with the changes. That's what you do. You only got two and a half hours to go with it, you know? Yo, now you come over here, Adam. I was actually talking about your idea of comics, or was that Quincy? I wasn't sure. So.
But I think that's all we got, Bernie. I appreciate you
coming
on. Hey,
no problem, man. Thank you for always supporting us, man. Oh, definitely, man. For sure.
Always. Going to continue because this, like I said, this is, out of all the comic book shops I've been to, this one here is like my favorite.
Well, thank you. Yes, thank you. It's funny because I don't like to toot my own horn, but I got military guys who come here and they came here when they were stationed here,
yeah,
and they leave and go back home, and I get messages, dude. They're like, the only thing I miss about Fayetteville is the store, and they're like, the store is here. Oh, they're not nothing like it. And for anybody who owns stores, who ain't listening like this, man, or if you go to store, man, make sure you're treated right. Customer service is the number one thing. I can have I don't have to have the comic book that you have.
Mm-hmm.
I may charge an extra, 50 cents for it, but man, I'm going to let you know, I'm going to make sure that you're taken care of when you're in there. That's always the big thing of any business is customer service.
That's right.
And you as a customer need to be treated right. If you don't feel like you know, but there's it's a two-sided story too. You can't go in there and be a douche. It's respect.
Right.
Give and take respect. If the comic store gives you respect, do the same thing back.
Mm-hmm.
But customer service is always everything. And man, like I said, since you walked in the door, man, I just threw out the thing. And then to top it off, we found out we're Cowboy fans. Oh yeah. And you know when you walk in the doors of the big star, it's not a rating.
Like, I walked in. I was like, I looked at my wife. I was like, I'm home. I'll be taken care of.
And your twin Noah comes in, and you got because you guys. You and Noah came in, like I said, you guys started the club membership and came in at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like you guys look like brothers, but you guys came, and every time I would say, okay, is that Ron or is that Noah? And I'm pretty good at getting names. And it's not a car thing. No. Just want to let you know. It's just you guys all came, but you and Noah, both of you became club members at the same time. And so, it's funny, he was a Cowboy fan too, so it works, man.
Family! But as always, Brandon, thank you for having me on the show. Hopefully I have you on other shows.
Yeah, man, for sure, all the time.
Yeah, and guys, if you're in the Fayetteville, North Carolina area, check out the Dragon's Lair comic book shop. You'd be glad you did.
Check us out on Facebook too. We always put videos and just...
Yes.
One thing that we're gearing towards is just... We've got so many personalities in here. We're gonna eventually start a YouTube channel. Now, if you watch YouTube, one of our old customers, he actually started reading comics in here. His name's Benny Potter. He goes by the Comic Storian.
Oh.
He's got over a million viewers. He basically started out here, and so we've got enough personalities in here that we can just. I think we can give the comic book man a run for their money, we bust on each other, and so we'll try to keep it clean. But yeah, I think that's so good. But check us out on Facebook. It's Dragon's Lair Fayetteville. Dragon's Lair Fayetteville, I think, .com, Facebook. Dragon's Lair Fayetteville.
Dragon's Lair. Yeah.
Dragon's Lair comic book store.
Yeah. There we go.
Check us out. Yep. Have fun.
All right, guys.
All right. Thanks, Ron. Later.
Later. Okay, so this previous weekend, we all know that DC and Warner Brothers allowed a early screening for Shazam movie, which I was trying to get into, but plans didn't work out, so I wasn't able to watch it. So I sat home with my son and we watched the old 1970s Shazam, or at the time Captain Marvel, TV series, and it's so bad that it's good. I'm watching it all for the wrong reasons. it's quite entertaining. It's entertaining. It has definitely kept me not bored, without a doubt. But it's so if you have the DC Universe streaming service, definitely check out Shazam or Captain Marvel. I'm not sure. I think it's called Shazam on DC Universe. But check that out. It is hilarious and just. Oh man, it's hilarious.
like, there's some things that just didn't add up. Like, major plot holes. Like, there's this one episode where this kid gets bit by a snake, and his blind brother, who so happens is wandering around the woods trying to find someone, which so happens able to find Mentor and Billy Batson looking for them, and he tells him that his brother has been bit by a snake and he's too far out, you know, for anyone to help him. What can he do? You would think that. Hold on. Stop. Let me back up. So clearly, Billy Batson and Mentor, they realize they need Captain Marvel to save the little boy's brother. So, oh gosh, this is so funny. It's so hilarious. So, and my son, he's eating it up. I mean, he's only 3 months old, but he's just eating this up. He's just watching it. Eyes not even leaving the screen. He's all into this. I'm trying not to die from laughter right now. But anyways, back to that. Billy Batson, he goes and tells the blind kid, okay, what's about to happen? You can't tell anyone. Why does Billy Batson have to tell him that what is about to happen? He shouldn't tell anyone. He can't see anything anyways. He's blind, Billy. But hey, he goes on to tell him, hey, don't tell anyone who I am. He goes, oh, don't worry, I won't. So, and it gets even worse. So Billy Batson turns into Shazam or Captain Marvel, whichever you want to prefer, and shoots off to go to the RV that they travel in and get the first aid. He goes and gets the first aid, right? And flies off. Meanwhile, Mentor and the little blind kid go find his older brother who's been bitten by a snake, and come to find out that he's been trying to move. Why is he trying to move? I don't understand. You've been bitten by a snake. Why are you trying to move? Making the venom, spreading your body even worse. I don't understand it. Yet, when he does, he causes some kind of avalanche, and all the rocks from the mountain starts to topple all over him. So he's trapped, and he's been snake bitten. This is horrible, but it's just so hilarious to me. He gets stuck. He gets stuck in some rocks, and of course, Mentor, his old tail, and the blind boy can't really get him out of the rocks, so he's stuck. So eventually, Shazam shows up, and then he shows up without the first aid kit. What were you doing? Oh gosh, what were you doing the whole entire 4 or 5 minutes you were been missing? Like, instead of him using the first aid that he so happened to just lose in mid-flight, he uses his walkie-talkie. No. Oh, yeah. By the way, yeah, he also rescues the kid from the rocks and all that stuff. But he also, instead of using the first aid kit that he, which so happens, just lost in mid-flight, he uses the handy-dandy radio that he had tucked under his cape the whole entire time. What? What? And then it occurs to me, why doesn't he just pick him up and just fly him off to a hospital? Instead, he calls dispatch, and they, which so happens, know him just like that. Oh yeah, this is Captain Marvel on the radio. No, don't worry, we'll be on the way to save him. Don't worry. Oh gosh. Oh, that's just half of what I made myself watch. And yeah. And I'm encouraging you to watch this cuz it's so bad that it is good. And yeah.
Oh gosh.
Yeah, sorry about that, guys. I had to vent on that one. It was one of the hilarious parts of my weekend, for sure. In other news, it's now being announced via AMC Theaters that Avengers Endgame runtime is 3 hours and some change. You know, if you had to ask me what I would want for an early Christmas present, give me a Marvel movie and make it 3 hours long. That's what I want. I'm serious. No, yeah, I'm really serious about this. The fact that this movie is going to be 3 hours long. Oh my gosh. I'm not buying nothing. No drinks. No snacks. Nothing. I'm fasting for this movie. 3 hours long. And I think I'm like, it's like 3 hours and nothing, like maybe 2 minutes or something like that. That's awesome. That is so freaking awesome that this movie is about to be 3 hours long. That's 3 hours of Captain Marvel and Captain America, Iron Man, Black Widow. I mean, all of them all together just kicking tail. Need I say more? All I had to say really was Avengers Endgame is going to be 3 hours long. Next topic. Okay, guys, this is the conclusion of today's episode. And before I go, just wanted to talk about us geeks. Us comic book geeks. Earlier this week, I've learned that it was a rumor that the Black Widow movie, supposedly her villain is supposed to be Taskmaster. Now, in my mind, I think that's a pretty cool idea. But of course, there's a few people who don't like this idea. Of course, not everybody's going to be happy about it. But some people are calling it just pointless. Some are saying that it's a waste of a villain. I strongly disagree with that. To say that a Taskmaster is too great of a villain for Black Widow, it's like saying Superman is too great of a superhero for Lex Luthor. You get what I'm saying? That I don't think a superhero, whatever their power scale is, they don't necessarily need a villain to match their power set, their skill. Granted, Taskmaster has gone toe-to-toe with superheroes like Captain America, Spider-Man, a lot of known well-fighting superheroes. But if I'm not mistaken, Taskmaster, he doesn't necessarily have like a humongous, like he's stupid strong, or he can fly or whatever. He's not invulnerable. He's very skilled fighter, to the point it's almost as if he does have superpowers, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong, but from what I've seen, I mean, his powers, his skill is to counter attack his opponent or match their power, their fighting skill. So, like I said, it's almost as if he would appear that he would have superpowers, but it's not the case. So, really, that's not a really bad matchup, Taskmaster against Black Widow. I think we really need to stop as geeks, and I'm saying this for someone who loves comic books and loves these, you know, superhero movies. I think that we really need to let off the pedal. We need to calm down. We really need to calm down about how our comic books are being perceived in live action movies. There are certain things in comic books that are really just really outlandish. Really don't, it won't gel in a live action movie. And plus, also, you also have to make it more presentable for people who don't really read any of the comic books, which is like majority. Now, I'm gonna say majority, but it's a good portion of audiences who don't watch or don't read comic books who are watching these movies, and they love the movies, but they don't know, you know, the back history of some of these characters, you know. So we gotta also make it more relatable to people who don't read the books as well. So yeah, geeks, fellow geeks, calm down, man. It's not that serious. It really isn't that serious. So let's let off the pedal, right? You know, just ease on up and let things turn out. The movie isn't even out yet. It's still in development. It hasn't even filmed anything yet. To say that if it's even true, I'm not even sure if it's actually confirmed that Taskmaster is going to be the villain in Black Widow movie. If so, great. Whatever. Calm down. It's not the end of the world. It's not. I mean, like, who's to say this is not gonna work? For all we know, this Taskmaster, whoever, if this is gonna happen, Taskmaster might be the next Loki in the MCU. Could. It really could. If done right, it really could. So I wouldn't knock on this so quickly, guys. Yeah, man. Let's have some fun, man. But let it be fun. We never even thought that MCU, the Marvel Cinematic Universe, was ever going to get this far. Better yet, or be this huge, this successful. So I think they have room to actually play around and do what they want now. Right? Anyways, food for thought. And then, yep, that's it. That's all I got, guys. This is the end of this show, or end of this episode, rather. Thank you for listening, as always, guys. Make sure to press that applaud button if you really like this episode. And also leave a voice message as well here on Anchor, and let me know what you thought. What do you think of so far of season 2? What you like to hear in future episodes? Yeah, whatever's on your mind. You also can tell me you don't like the show. I mean, everybody's throwing out their opinions and stuff, right? So, but yeah. I'd love to hear from you guys. Let me know what you guys think, and also feel free to join the Facebook group and page as well, guys. The Facebook group is there for all geeks alike: movie geeks, comic book geeks, game geeks, you're a geek, you there's something you geek out on, Extremely Geeked Out Podcast Community, or excuse me, Extremely Geeked Out Community is the group for you. Love to interact with you guys. Let me know what you guys think. So, yeah. See you guys next time. And be blessed. And see you around. Peace.